You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are watching, listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Energy, energy. Are we heading to a purely electrified economy where we never have to worry about another drop of oil being taken from the ground and fouling our waters and destroying nature? If that's going to happen, how long is it going to take? And what are you going to be driving then? A golf cart? They're all the rage here in Florida. People are actually driving on the streets in golf carts. I think it's suicidal, but they're doing it. But let's get a real take on the energy patch, on what's really happening here. Grant Norwood is with us now. He's been on before. You find him at norwoodenergycorp.com. Grant, great to have you back. So this electrified future is just electrifying, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. I actually saw my first Tesla in Kansas about 3 days ago. That was a surprise. I haven't seen any charging stations up there. I'm sure there's a few in Wichita or Kansas City, but all over the state because we have tons of wells there. And it was super surprising, the middle of absolutely nowhere, to see a Tesla rolling down the road. You know, kind of like we were talking about before the show, if demand stops climbing at unprecedented levels that match the pace that it's always increased, then I might be able to agree with it a little bit. And I say that, you know, with emphasis on a little bit. But, you know, with supply or with demand increasing year after year at the rate that it is, it's not far-fetched to say we'll be consuming 110 million barrels from our 102, you know, by the middle of the next decade.
Yeah, I don't doubt it for a minute, but at some point, and I have to confess, full disclosure, I'm a Tesla owner, very happy. I charge it in my garage every night, except last night I plug it in. So I charge at off-peak rates, which if I was in Texas, that would be great because they pay you to take the electric off-peak in the evening. But hey, it's like it's a superior platform, transportation platform in many, many respects. The limitation, what you said, charging stations, and the government is just giving money away, just throwing it in the air to anybody who will build a charging station. I was thinking of putting one in on my front lawn, but at some point, and look, half of oil produced, right, goes to transportation fuels. That's cars, trucks, and buses, and all that, and
airlines, right. Ships, and there's quite a few things. So just light duty vehicles only makes up between 12% and 14% based on the last few years statistics. So the rest of that 35% is made up of everything that's still I don't know how many years, but quite a few away. But as you displace one thing, another thing takes advantage of it. And I'm really hoping it takes to the market and, you know, the infrastructure's in place to maintain it soon. It's getting harder and harder to find reserves. We're about to be past the shale era here in a couple of years. Might have mentioned this on the episode that I was on with you as recent as November. In November, I was saying things that people would have laughed at me about. Here we are in March, coming up on April, and now I'd say about one in every five or six articles you read is starting to talk about how the industry is realizing that shale's running out of locations. So when you look at what we produced as a country prior to shale, you know, it was about 6 million barrels a day. Now we make 13. So when you take that 7 million barrels off the market, remember why we went up to 120 last year? Because we were consuming about 1.5 million barrels more per day than we were producing across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So times that by four, it will be in a world of hurt. So if we don't at least, you know, take half the cars off the road that are running off of the fossil fuels, then yeah, I mean, nobody wants to pay, or nobody wants to see oil at $200 a barrel.
Hey, and I totally agree with what you're saying. And taken in this context, the government's policy really isn't that insane of pushing towards a transition to EVs.
Yeah.
Forget about the saving the planet, Green New Deal, all that garbage. But the fact is that the Shell era is coming to an end, at least for oil, not for nat gas, but for oil, definitely. And then all the insanity that's taking place in Washington actually makes a little sense, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's just for the wrong reasons. They kind of play to people's good nature to try to make it something other than it is. I'm not saying there's not filthy oil companies out there that just don't care, but for the most part, we're all outdoors, but we have to spend so much time out there at the wells anyway. The last thing we want to do is pollute anything. And if you've ever spilled a drop of anything as an operator, if you're not on it right away, I mean, you won't have a company for long. They will take action.
Yeah. And based on what you're saying, there are opportunities here in the oil patch as a result of the forces in play. And and maybe going back to a lot of those depleted fields where there are environmental issues, and that's one of the reasons we were shut down, maybe that's going to become more attractive now.
It will. I still haven't gotten my award yet for all the fields we've cleaned up, but I've got my fingers crossed it's coming. We've acquired two fields in 2020, and we fixed 13 tank batteries that had leaked both oil and salt water. 2021, we acquired one field, did it. Last year, we acquired seven fields and did it. I haven't acquired one this year, but we're just going through some closings right now, then we'll start. But cleaning up fields that have gone to the wayside because companies just admitted their funds right and or moved on, or, you know, there's a whole host of reasons. A lot of times someone will pass away, the kids try to work on it. You hear me talk about that on a lot of other shows. That's how we step into a lot of good opportunities. But definitely major, major opportunities. One of the fastest, if not the fastest growing company in the state of Kansas. And I'm 30 to 40 years, everybody's junior at best. There's going to be a lot of turnover in the next decade. I'm not out here with a bunch of other guys within 10 years of my age that are choosing this path. And there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of wells in each state that the state's not going to be able to manage. And, you know, if these big companies are forced to live within more regulation, they're not going to be expanding. So it will be a problem. It will be a problem. So,
yeah, well, that is a problem in the entire resource sector globally, is new blood coming in. I see it with mining. Everybody's got like gray hair, white hair, or no hair.
Yeah.
You see it too in industrial. If you go to an auto factory, an auto plant in the U.S., the average worker is like into his 50s.
That's right.
I don't want to say what we call those jobs, but let's just call them dirty jobs for the sake of a better term.
Somebody's got to do it.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the harsh reality, is somebody's got to do it. And I mean, I think there's plenty of money to find their way to backing these things, but professionals with the skill set to manage them is what's going to be lacking here soon.
Yep. Could not agree more. And that's an opportunity for the youth. You don't necessarily have to go to college. How much does a pipeline welder make these days, Grant?
$75, $80 an hour. plus per diem, and probably a $20,000-$30,000 sign-on bonus if you make it 3 months.
Yeah, it's hard work. Let's face it, it's hard work, but it's honest work. It's profitable, and everybody basically on the job there is making a six-figure income, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Every single one, and not just barely breaking it either.
Yeah. So
compare that with teaching, working at a bank, things like that. You've got years to work up to anything close to that if you reach it at all.
Or being a content creator like me.
Hey, yeah.
We're going to be a nation of podcasters. Nobody will have to get those Tesla robots working real good because nobody wants to do those jobs anymore. And it's a global phenomena. Yes, in South America, in Asia, and in poor parts of the globe, you will get people to do those jobs, but they don't have the skills.
Right. Well, you brought up a good thing to kind of shift gears on for parts of the globe. Are they going to buy Teslas? Is it going to be like Cuba and they're going to take all their oil and gas powered vehicles?
They'll be buying electric bikes. And
maybe so. Maybe so. They've got bikes. They might not have to pedal it anymore. But if they want to go from third world to second, from second to first, you saw what did it for us. So I think that
oil,
there's several generations to go. And then there's that other half of what we use the products for. And that's any and everything, even the shirt I'm wearing,
Needs the clothing.
The device we're talking on, everything. So
yeah, there's some room to run.
That's for sure. Well, I'm fully supportive of Teslas. They are a good time to drive. They're fast. They're sleek. They're comfortable.
Smart. Smarter. They did an upgrade recently, Grant, just to give you an example of how freaking smart that company is. And, you got your garage door opener with the button, right? And you come to you get home at night, you push the button and the garage door opens. Well, this car is so smart now, it knows when I'm within 5 or 10 feet of my house. And when I get there, it beeps and it automatically opens the door. When I back out of the garage in the morning, it knows I'm 5 or 10 feet away. It beeps and it closes the door. Now, granted, that's not like earth shattering here, but they thought of it. Nobody else thought of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always cutting edge. And I just like the glass ceilings. You don't just have like a little sunroof. It's a whole thought.
Yeah, it's genius. It's a pure genius. But in the meantime, we need energy supply.
Somebody's going to sell those Teslas. Somebody's got to fabricate all those parts.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to create that electricity that it runs on. And if you think it's wind or solar, you're only kidding yourself.
Yeah, well, we know how that worked out in Texas the winter before last, right?
Look at Germany. They're abandoning a lot of those wind farms. And talk about pollution. There's nothing dirtier than wind and solar. The way it's mined, how it's disposed of, if it gets disposed of at all, the kind of ground it covers. Look at a solar farm, set that next to a pump jack and see which one you can farm around.
Yeah. Hey, so take out your crystal ball now. And based on the supply dynamics of what we're talking about here, do you think $140 a barrel oil like Goldman Sachs is calling for is realistic, or is it pie in the sky?
Not this year. I think it's going to rebound and probably come up to the low 80s. And then kind of towards the end of summer, we'll probably approach 95. Then I think winter time, you know, it'll probably hang out, you know, probably low 80s, I'd say. The year after that, it'll be a kind of, you know, a year away from the election. It's anybody's guess at that point. I'd say that, like, I don't see any new supply coming on anytime soon, unless we just hit a massive recession, which I think is a little bit overblown. I'm not saying it's going to be a little slowdown. But, you know, crystal ball that I don't have, but pretending I do. I think that we kind of finish the year around 85. That's my prediction.
You know, even when there's global recessions, what do we see? A 2-3% decline in consumption? It's like meaningless.
But the warming is getting tighter, so new productions, maintaining the old wells. I mean, people are going to not be able to service their debt. Companies are going to shut down as prices are rising. And as they shut down, prices will rise more. There's just not, the cost of capital's gone up. So that's one of the last recession here at $140 a barrel. So maybe Goldman's right. Maybe I'm wrong. But if I had to guess, I think that it's going to kind of be a balance between, are we going down any further? Are we staying right where we are? Are we going to improve a little bit? I think that uncertainty kind of lets us, you know, go up, but it's not going to get ridiculous.
Right. Well, but obviously this is a longer term plan. So like you said, the government is actually pursuing the right policy, probably incorrectly. Probably the subsidies are not the way to be doing this thing.
Because
they're doing it for the wrong reasons, to save the planet, which, like you say, these things are dirtier. The new technology is dirtier than the old. You know,
yeah.
We have a responsible oil production, responsible mining, best practices. You can't afford to have a blowout anymore. They'll shut you down.
Yeah. And I mean, the second you think you clean something up here in the States, somewhere overseas, it's twice as dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we produce it responsibly. Is that better than not producing it at all? You know it's going to get made up for. Those barrels are going to come from somewhere. They might as well come from a clean source.
Absolutely.
You know, we can't lease the companies overseas. That's somebody else's job. And they're saying, you know, don't clean it up if it means you stay here, drum more, and pay us more.
Yeah.
So all we're doing is just handing our wealth to the Saudis.
Yeah. And we've been doing that since 16 years now.
It's nothing new. We just unlock more resources. And, you know, before those are gone, we might as well make it easy to produce and create a little bit more prosperity, mm-hmm. you know, with jobs for Americans before we run out.
Couldn't agree with you more. Hey, tell us about your company, what you do. I know you're big in Kansas.
Big in Kansas, big in Louisiana, and then all over Texas. We've actually recently started expanding into West Texas. That's a little bit of a slower to get off the ground thing. You know, we're competing with the biggest of the big and, you know, the most talented people in the industry out there. So the leases are harder to come by. Royalty rates that you pay landowners are bigger. The price for acreage is a lot higher. So we're kind of taking that slow. So really we're just kind of laying the framework. We made a few acquisitions. We bought a few legacy properties. But all the while, we've drilled 10 wells in the last 6 months in Kansas. We've got 20 more planned going forward. We actually turned on the biggest well we've ever drilled as a company yesterday. And who knows how long it'll stay there. But to see a well make it more water.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How much is it producing?
It's good. I'm just, you know, hoping my phone doesn't ring. So it's like, oh, I changed it a little bit. But for now, it's making 400 barrels a day or $500,000 well.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a 20-day ROI. So may never get another one, but it's fun today.
Hey, it sure feels good when you do, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, people want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. What's the best way?
The website has a contact page. We've got LinkedIn. We've got Instagram. We've got YouTube. So our YouTube, we don't have a lot of dialogue on there, but if you ever want to see, hey, how does fracking work? Well, heck, you can watch how we do it. If you want to kind of see drilling operations firsthand, you know, we've got great videos, content, a little bit of dialogue here and there on YouTube, as well as our Instagram. I think we've got one of the few where it's actually authentically us doing the work and letting people see what the operations are. There's a lot of just bloggers that'll video other people's things or poach content and make something, but I haven't seen any other oil and gas company. It's like, hey, here's every well we've drilled, every well we've fracked, and here's us working them over, start to finish. So really just anywhere on the web.
All right, very cool. Well, hey, keep up the great work there and touch base with us on occasion. We'd love to get your take on, you know, on what the state of the oil patch is and where we're heading. And we will talk to you again. If you've got a question for Grant or myself, you can always shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. There's a link to Grant's site in the show notes to this interview. And while you're there, please sign up and get your free weekly newsletter. Grant, been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, Kerry. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.